Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you this morning. We thank you because you first loved us. To God be the glory. And our hearts, O Lord, are united in fearing the Lord and praising the Lord today. And we know, Lord, that you are in our midst. For it is written, where two or three are gathered together in unity, in my name, there will I be. God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, and we welcome your presence. And we declare that the entrance of your word will bring light into our hearts and give us understanding. Even today, Lord, to God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome to day four and the final day of this consecration that the Lord called. A consecration time is over at the end of this session. So the Lord gave us instruction to do one day for each of the meetings, meeting days. So we did Thursday for Thursday, Friday for Friday, Saturday for Saturday, and Sunday morning for Sunday morning. So to God be the glory for that. Today, September to remember, we have lived up. That's right. God has taken us through these last 3 days and so forth. You know, first day of the consecration, it was, on your marks, you know. And second day, it was get set and, start those engines. Third day was go forward. Now we know we have lived off. You know, when they send a rocket into space, you know, they usually use those words, and I guarantee you, there have been a lot of prep for them to get there. Many months, really, that they prep, sometimes even years, they prep the astronauts. But they go higher to heights that nothing else has ever been. They go to beyond even heights that planes and fighter jets can reach. They go to soar, farther and farther out. Sometimes we try to go even farther out into space. Well, the liftoff that we are experiencing or will experience, this consecration has been a shadow of things to come. So we believe that we will experience a liftoff. If you believe that, you can put your amen in the chat room. A liftoff that will soar like the rockets that is sent into space. Now, those things, they're not even flying at the level. I mean, sometimes some of these jets can fly at 39,000, feet and so on. These rockets, in less than a few seconds, they're way beyond that, way beyond that. They're going into outer space. They're soaring into outer space, going far beyond where anyone has ever reached. Now that is what we are trusting God for in this September to remember event. Can we actually soar like that? Can the Lord take us to places unknown, hitherto unknown? Well, that's the question. That's the quest. That's the quest. And that's what we are believing God for. And I believe with all my heart, if we seek the Lord enough, well, the scripture gives us this wonderful promise in the book of Isaiah. It says that they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. I mean, and it gives a metaphor here of how their strength will be renewed. In so many ways, their strength can be renewed. And he said, first of all, he starts out by saying, hast thou not known? And hast thou not heard, huh, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. In other words, you can't figure the depths of it out. That's Isaiah 40 and verse 28. You know, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. Well, we know young people usually strength is on their side. I mean, you know, they have the advantage of strength and so forth. But he's saying that even in situations where youths may actually faint and be weary, where young men shall fall, you know, and so forth. These are people who normally would have the strength. But in comparison or in contrast, they that wait upon the Lord. Now, that waiting can be in any number of ways. Well, we've been doing it one way, this consecration. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall, now let's listen to the other parts. One, they will renew their strength. Now, you may already be strong, and we should already be strong. You know, in fact, you know, John, epistle in his, one of his epistles, he wrote and said, I write unto you, young men, well, because you've known the Father. I write unto you because you are strong. You overcome the devil. You know, I write unto you, fathers. I mean, he began to say so many things. So you are strong. We are strong already. You know, the Bible even encourages us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on thy strength. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Zion. I mean, there's encouragement throughout the scriptures. So we know we should be strong already. However, when you wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength even more. And sometimes our physical strength is waning. We are losing strength. Sometimes it's emotional strength. Sometimes it's spiritual strength. And sometimes people are just overwhelmed. You know, we're doing, you know, stuff, or we're facing stuff. Sometimes something just comes from nowhere, you know, and it just wearisome. And these things that the devil will bring or capitalize upon. It's not the devil that brings everything, you know, but he will capitalize upon it. If he sees an opening, you know, he will capitalize upon it. So the openings are the things where we must make sure we guard against. Ecclesiastes 10 and 8, you can visualize that there is a viper. You know, these vipers, they're coiled up like that, waiting to strike. You know, and they're looking for, sometimes he will strike and hit a brick wall. Yeah, that's what we want. We want that viper to, every time he strikes, he hits a brick wall. He didn't know the wall was there. He thought there was an opening, and he tried to strike, and he just hits a brick wall because of the glory of God. He says his defense, had been the munitions of rocks, a brick wall. Now, but there, if there's a crack, you know, there's a crack in that hedge, in that aura, in that thing, the defense that's around you. Well, that serpent can strike through there, you know. So we need to fortify our defenses, fortify that. You know, we do that many times through consecrated fasting. That's how you fortify your spiritual defenses. So even Jesus, you know, think about it. Jesus, when he was about to embark on his mission, really, he first of all had to go in for a 40-day fast. and it was a 40-day tug of war. It wasn't only at the end that the devil came to him. That was just the part that was recorded. It was the whole time that he was there. You know, but the devil was looking for times when he would be weak getting there. Because the Bible says, well, he was led of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So that was the plan from the beginning. The father was going to put him up to that test and see what he'd be made of. All these 30 years, well, let's see what you got, you know. And but that's how Jesus renewed his strength. That's how he did it. And we've been doing it, and it says, look, they will renew their strength when they wait upon the Lord. They will mount up with eagles. I mean, wings like eagles. Now, an eagle is a different kind of bird. It's not like the chicken. You know, chicken is always roosting on the ground, looking for something, scratching. The eagle, they don't do anything like that at all. Fly out at a vantage point all the time. And they can see. I mean, the eye of the eagle, you can see. My goodness. They can see far, you know, and from their vantage point, they can scoop down. I mean, just swoop down like that and just get what they want. Fly off. You know, out in the, scratching the ground looking for anything. That's chicken. Chickens do that, not eagles. Eagles are able to fly higher than any other kind of bird, you know. And the metaphor here is that those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, so even though physically you may be weak when you are, you know, in a consecrated fast, it's actually, it's a renewal of your strength. You know, think of this, the spirit and the flesh as a balance, you know, like a balance, a scale. And you put more weight on one side goes down, one side goes up, you know, that kind of thing. Well, you know, when you starve the flesh and you do it in a prayerful manner, the spirit gains strength. When we starve the spirit in a careless manner, well, the flesh gains strength. So these two are at loggerheads. You know, the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other. Flesh hates the spirit of God, and God hates the flesh. So, you know, we have to put that flesh under. We do that through consecrated fasting sometimes. And when we do corporate, you know, it's more, even much more powerful. You know, when we do it together, you know, there are promises throughout the scriptures of Jesus, from Jesus saying things like, you know, when you are in unity, I am there. You agree as touching anything, I will do it, and so on and so forth. So we've been doing it this last few days, and I want to speak about lift off today, more so. We're going higher and higher. We're not going to be roosting on the ground like chickens. No. We're going to fly like eagles. Glory to God. Yeah. And you know, we need to know whose we are and then build confidence in who we are. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to frustrate that grace. I am what I am. But, and here's what Jesus said, you know, in John chapter 15. This is, we should build this kind of confidence. It's not boasting, it's not bragging, and even if it was boasting, it's boasting in the Lord. Psalm 34 says, My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. You know, this is the boast that we have in the Lord. Here's how he says it. John 15 and 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Wow. He chose us. He chose you. He chose me. You know, so, you know, we don't think of yourself anything less than what God thinks of you. Now, we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Scripture cautions us about that. But if God says, you know, you are my son, if God calls you, you know, holy, you know, then don't think of yourself as anything less. Praise God. God called us saints throughout the writings of the apostles when they wrote. They always wrote to the saints that are in Philippi, saints that are Rome, saints that are in Colossae, saints that are in Ephesus, called to be saints. I mean, all this stuff. So we're no more foreigners. We're no more sinners. We're called to be great. And when we see ourselves like that, well, then you are ready to go even higher. You know, part of the things that limit us from going higher with the Lord is self-condemnation. Self-condemnation, you know, which I call sin consciousness. Sin consciousness, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we should sweep our sin under the rug. No, we should deal with it. But, you know, the things that keep people out, they're not good enough. That was a veil that kept the people out. The majority of the people, they were kept out because they were not good enough. There was only, you know, one tribe, and not just a handful of even that tribe. They were called Levites. They were called priests. They were the only ones, quote unquote, good enough to get in there. Well, the Lord did all of that for a reason and a pattern, a shadow of things. But, you know, all the curtains and veils that kept people out, you're not good enough to go in there or whatever. Sometimes the people themselves think they're not good enough to go in there, you know. So all of that, Matthew 27 records that all that stuff was torn down when Christ died. So now we are entering in and we are souring. You got to soar. Soar is what I want to say. You're soaring higher and higher and higher. You know, that's lift off. And they get those rocket boosters and they, you know, fire on the engines. It's a countdown, you know, it's a countdown to lift off. We've been having a countdown, spiritually speaking. We are in that lift off right now, but we will experience it physically when we get to September to remember. But first, you know, God will show what he's going to do. Yeah. When he shows it, and he inspires us to get ready for it, then we do it because we know that that's what he's calling and that's what he wants to do first. Like I've often said, God said, I want to do it. It's time. It always starts with God. Everything starts with God. Unction starts with God from the throne. Nothing moves in heaven without an unction from the throne. And, you know, we need to be aligning ourselves with the ways of heaven. Even though we are here on earth, Jesus said, well, they are here on earth, but they don't belong. You know, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world, in his prayer in John 17. So we need to be aligning ourselves with the way things are done in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. The way, you know, the way that things is done. That's what will means. The king imposes his will on his territories that he dominates. The will of the king. You know, it's how the king wants things to be done. Now, way that the king wants things to be done is what we see in heaven. Nothing happens there except there's an unction from the throne. You know, when he's around the throne, when he's seated, well, everybody is saying, holy, 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 holy. When he leaves that throne, there's a silence around the throne for 30 minutes, we're told. You know, that's a revelation of where was he for those 30 minutes? Why were there a silence around the throne? Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. That's a different subject for another day. But now that God has inspired this meeting, he said, call the people, sanctify a fast, gather the people together. Why? Because God wants to visit. And glory to God. And nobody should be left out. No man left out. No man left behind. You know, God wants us, you know. He wants us. Jesus said, I will lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day. The Father that gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can pluck anything out of his hand. Jesus' intention is not to lose anyone. He said, look, all the Father have given me, I've lost none of them, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He lost none. And even when the enemy, Roman soldiers and everybody came to capture him, and chief priests said, you know, and Judas and everybody are giving him up, you know, he was still fighting for the people. He said, that's the same might be fulfilled, that I've lost none of them. So he said to them, I'm the one that you need, not these ones. Well, let them go, and I'll go with you. They knew that if he didn't want to go, he would not go. They tried it before. Some people have tried to throw him off the cliff and all of that. He just walked through the midst of them. They made a deal with them. Let these ones, I'm the one you need, I'm the one you're looking for. Let these ones go. I'll go with you if you let these ones go. See? To the end, he was still fighting for them. Lose none of them. And, you know, we know that we are here. We are his own. There was one time the Lord showed me, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a parable that I will show you. And he showed it to me. You know, and it was like we were in a pit. A lot of people. But trying to climb out of that pit. And we couldn't get out of it, really. It was a deep pit. And there was a strong man at the top of the pit that threw down a rope. You know, threw down a rope. And you could use that rope to, if you clung onto the rope, it's going to pull you out. But he had a couple of instructions, which were really strange. You know, I thought he was going to try to pull one person out at a time. You know, but no. He said, you grab onto the rope, but don't grab on with two hands. Grab on only with one hand. And everybody's wondering, am I slip? Am I fall? I said, well, you grab on with one hand, and with the other hand, you grab onto somebody else. It's going to get us out of there in a chain, a human chain. And if you grabbed on to the rope with two hands, and you were not trying to grab somebody behind you, he just let down the rope. He wasn't pulling until you followed the instruction that he gave. And I said, wow. Yeah. So no one left behind. No one. Now God is the one that is doing it. He's going to get us all. The Bible says, thy people shall all be taught of the Lord. All. You know? Yeah. You know, at first, I've said this before too, you know, the vine dresser, the man that's got the orchard and so the early fruit, he can only see a handful of ripe fruit here and there. So he takes a basket, he goes through the orchard, picks one here, picks one there, picks, maybe half a dozen or so, and that's it. He only needs a basket. Now, that's the early fruit. But he doesn't settle for the early fruit. Yeah. He's not satisfied with the early fruit. He's going to have long patience for the full harvest, and he's going to wait. But he'll get the early fruit. He'll get them too, you know. One ripe here and there. But then he's waiting for that full harvest. Now, when the full harvest comes, it's not just one here, one there, one here. They are all ripe. Now, he cannot bring a basket. He's got to bring a truck. Because all of them are ripe now. Yeah. Now, I believe with all my heart that, you know, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1 says it. He said, the Lord will make bright clouds. You know, he said, ask ye of rain in the time of the latter rain. And the Lord will make bright clouds and give them showers, you know, showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Everyone. I believe with all my heart, and I've been praying and seeking the Lord and say, Lord, let this be so, these scriptures, everyone, no person left behind. No person will come into September to remember and leave the same or say, I didn't feel anything. I didn't experience anything. I don't know what they were talking about. No. Everybody, whether you're physically present or you are connected somehow, you know, connect through the media at that time, the Holy Spirit, angel of the Lord, they got angels. They carry the blessing. Everybody. So, we need to experience this liftoff. This liftoff that takes us from this chicken level to the eagle level. This chicken scratching every day. We scratch. We pray. Before any small thing happens. Yeah, that's a chicken level. And scratching all this stuff. But going to the eagles. Ha! The eagles of God are appearing. Are soaring. Have lift off. And you know, we're going to go higher than we've ever been. The Lord is going to take us to heights that we've never known. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which you've never known. Now, there's a lot of things that we've known by the grace of God. He's shown us a lot of things. Wow. But there's a lot of things that we don't know yet. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. He says, if any man thinks he knows anything, well, let him think again. Because he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Now, what are the depths of the knowledge of the riches of the glory of God in Christ? What is it? You know, how much of it can you find out? How much of it can you search out? Well, there's no searching of his understanding. Yeah, you should search, but there is no depth to what you can find. That's what that means. You can go on a quest. You can get more. You can go, you know, Habakkuk 2:14 uses this metaphor about the sea. He said the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of it, that's a revelation of it. The knowledge of it will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I mean, that's the expanse of it. I mean, how do the waters cover the sea? Think about it. I mean, you're out in the sea, you see the horizon, but it seems like you never get to that horizon. you go and it's still there. You go and it's still there. You know, and I always use this analogy. The sea, the expanse of the sea, the abundance of the sea. That's the depth of the knowledge of the glory of the riches of God through Christ Jesus. You can take a bucket, fill your bucket, bring your vessels, not a few. But the sea is still just like it was. instead of a bucket, you can say, well, okay, I'm going to take a barrel. Well, take a barrel, that's fine. Take what you want. It's still plenty where that came from. Well, I say, well, barrel is too small. Let me go get a tanker. You can bring your tanker, and it's still there. You can't, you know, diminish the sea. You just can't do it. You know, even when they do land reclamation and trying to build, you know, and drive, they can't diminish that sea. They only drive and try to increase, you know, the earth line and put piles of pound the earth into it, push the water back. But you can't get rid of that water. You can't do it. And one day that water is going to revolt. When it revolts, you know, all that stuff, you know, they're going to find out the water is still there. You can't get rid of it. It's just so much. It's a metaphor of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, how much of the glory of God have you experienced? Well, you can get more. When you have liftoff, it's like when they do those missions, they are going, you know, places where nobody's ever been. They're trying to find something new, you know, that nobody's found before. They're always going farther and farther. Science, NASA, and the rest of them. They're always trying to do that. Well, you know, if we can only do that for spiritual things as well. Always wanting more. There's a few people like that, that we saw in the Bible. They wanted more. Didn't matter what they already had. I mean, Moses was a great example. I mean, all that glory and all that power, he threw down miracles like nobody ever seen. Including the parting of the Red Sea, which I call the singular, most spectacular miracle, physical miracle in that Old Testament. God did all those things by his hands. But still, at the time you get to chapter 33 of Exodus, he's still wanting more. You know, show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. Show me thy glory, Lord. I mean, he's still wanting more. Paul was still wanting more. We just concluded the study of the book of Philippians, a deep dive study through it. We saw where Paul was wanting more. You know, I want more that I may know you. Same thing. Pressing. Well, someday, there was a day, actually, because of all his quests, the Lord took him into a dimension. That was a dimension unknown by most. In fact, he said, well, you know, I know a man. He was trying to not say it was him, but we know it was him. I know a man, well, whether out of the body or, you know, in the body, I don't know. But he experienced something. He went to the third heavens. He saw things and even heard things that were unlawful to repeat at that time. But the Lord said, there shall nothing be hid that shall not be known. There shall nothing cover that shall not be revealed. Everything. You know, Daniel was to shut up the words until the time of the end. Well, that means at the time of the end, some things will come unglued. Some things will come be revealed. But shut it up until. That until is very powerful. Now, he didn't say shut up the word forever. Daniel, go thy way. Shut up the word forever. No. He said, Daniel, go thy way and shut up the words until the time of the end. Now, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, we are at the time of the end. There are some things that have been sealed, you know, that we never knew. But at the time of the end, it'll be opened up, because there shall nothing be hidden that shall not be revealed. Now, the things that God chooses to not reveal, that's his prerogative. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us, the secret things belong unto the Lord. That's his choice. But the things that are revealed belong unto us. Now, you know, if God has chosen to hide some things, because Jesus himself rejoiced in the spirit. He said, Father, I rejoice that it has pleased you to hide these things from the wise and the prudent. But it wasn't hidden from everybody. But you have revealed them unto babes. There were some people that were hungry and ready to believe anything from the Lord. You know? They got the revelation. Well, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do the words of this Lord. There's a reason why the Lord revealed the thing that he reveals. But if he has revealed a thing, and we are not searching out the things that he has already revealed, well, the things that he hasn't revealed, well, that's up to him. But the things that he has revealed, part of the things that he has opened up, you know, John was crying. Because there was nobody found to open the book. He wanted to know what's in that book. And one of the voices said to him, look, you know, God has given us somebody, a champion, that have prevailed to open the book. And so, you know, John is waiting. But as the Christ stepped up to open that book, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't read it. He opened the seals. You know, as he opened the seals, some revelations went forth. But he never read the book. So the book still remains to be read. You know, because a book must be read. What good is a book that's not read? A book still remains to be read. And we see in Revelation chapter 10, John was told, go and take that book that is open out of the hand of the angel and eat it up. And thou must prophesy again. Now, John, you know, was representing many things. The visions that he was, you know, participating in, was representing many things. That's how visions work sometimes. You're in a vision, or a night dream, or even a dream sometimes, and you're representing many things. It may not just be you. The things that you're participating in may be a whole group of people that the person is representing. And John, he took that book. Oh my goodness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there are things that we must discover. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2 tells us this. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Huh? But it is the honor of kings to search it out. Huh? What are the things that God has concealed? Well, we don't know. That's why they are concealed. You know, but, you know, who are these kings that must search out the matter? Well, if you read Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, you know, and you read Revelation chapter 5, you know, verses 9 and 10 and so forth, you will find out who these kings that must search out these matters are. You'll find them out. Who are they? Well, let's see who they are, first of all, before we come back to these proverbs. In Revelation chapter 1, John was talking about the vision, describing the vision that he saw. I said, well, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I saw these things, you know, to him that loved us, you know, and so forth. Unto him that loved us and washed us in his blood from, you know, our sins from his own blood. And then verse 6, and has made us kings and priests unto our God. So who is the us that you're referring to? Well, that's up to us to answer whether we are part of that made us that he's referring to. Who are these kings that he's talking about? Well, again, in this same vision, in Revelation 9, where he saw the book that nobody could open, I mean, Revelation 5, sorry. You know, well, finally, when the Lamb stepped up and started and took the book, everybody began to worship him. To say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. you know, and so forth. They began to tell him. And they told him that you have redeemed us. Thou art worthy to take the book, to loose the seals thereof. For thou was slain and thou redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. So verse 10 says, and you have made us unto our God kings and priests. Glory to God. Who are these kings? Who are these priests? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal means kings. You know, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, these kings that have been made out of some people to be kings and priests unto God. He said, us. Well, that's you. That's me. So, back to Proverbs 25, verse 2. Having established that we are these kings, well, then we must search out the things, the deep things, yea. Search out the things, yea, the deep things of God. Let us search them out. And see, peradventure, the Lord will have mercy and show us these things. But we must search them out. For that's our responsibility. God may hide something, but it's our responsibility to search it out and see peradventure he would reveal these things to us. Now, the Lord loves to hide things. Isaiah 45 verse 15 says, even he likes to hide himself. He said, verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself. You know, well, he likes to play hide and seek. So, we must seek him. Jeremiah 29:13 gives us a promise, though, that when we seek him with all our heart, we will be found of him. Jeremiah 29:13, powerful promise that we must hold on to going into, September to remember. Must hold on to this promise. You know, the things that God is going to show and reveal and share with us. I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn around your captivity and so forth. You know, that's what he said. Now, that's verse 14. Verse 13 says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. Go to this September to remember, and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. Now remember, thou art verily a God that hideth thyself. Well, you will seek me, and you will find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's the premise. That's how we do it. We search for him with all our heart, knowing that you can't just by searching find out the Almighty unto perfection, but you must search and see if by adventure, by any means, he will reveal himself to us. Now, but it's more than just peradventure. We have his promise. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we are told in verse 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, we are coming to September to remember, you got to believe that. That God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So let's seek the Lord diligently. Not just these 3 days of consecration. No. Come with a heart of seeking. Come and say, we would see Jesus. Ah, I want to see your glory. I want to know you, Lord. Show me thy glory, Lord. Show me things I've never seen before. Take me to heights where I've never been, where I could never get to. That's right. Show me things that I could never know. I may have tried to understand this and I could never understand it. Reveal them to me, Lord. Show me thy power, such as I've seen in the sanctuary before. Show me thy power. Show me thy glory, Lord. You know, I maintain and I stand in the defense of the glory of God to say that, look, it's because we have not experienced the real glory of God. That's why we still have these sicknesses and these torments in our bodies and so forth. You know, I maintain that, you know, even myself, you know, it's not like I'm free of some of these things sometimes, but that's because we're not fully in His presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. You can't have fullness of joy, you know, when you are dealing with issues, you're dealing with migraine, headaches, you're dealing with cancer, you're dealing with diabetes, you're dealing with high blood pressure, you're dealing with, you know, all kinds of things, impaired vision, impaired mobility, your limbs, and various things. How can that be fullness of joy? Well, in His presence, though, there is fullness of joy. What kind of presence are we talking about where we may get fullness of joy? Obviously, not the universal presence of God, because His universal presence is everywhere. And there's not the fullness of joy everywhere, but His revealed presence. Now, when we experience that presence at September to Remember, sicknesses will fall. You know, all these things, the reproaches that have been a burden unto you, you know. And the Lord inspired me to read this Zephaniah every day of this consecration as the reading. You know, they stood and read in the word of the Lord on the fasting day. So I've been reading that on the fasting day. Every day I've been reading. And I'll read it again to you today as part of the takeoff and liftoff that we have. Here are some of the things that the Lord will do for us in this gathering. Now, remember, this consecration is all about September to Remember. Yeah, but we did get some, you know, fringe benefits for our immediate situations now. We did some of that yesterday and the day before. But really focusing and targeting that gathering. Now, here are the things that the Lord has promised. I'll read it again. This one, I'm not just going to quote it. I've quoted many verses of scripture today without actually stopping to read them. But this one, I'm going to read in the book of the law. I'm going to do this as the reading of the word of the Lord on the fasting day. So let's read from the book of Zephaniah chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 14 to the end. I want everybody that can, if you got your Bible with you, okay, your physical Bible or your physical, or your digital Bible, whatever. If you have it, open it, read it for yourself. If you can't open it, read it, then listen to it. Listen to the words of the Lord. It's just as powerful. Everyone that heareth the words of this law and doeth them, you know, yeah, and they get the same blessings. So, if you read and hear the words of this prophecy in the book of Revelation, it says, well, that's a blessing. It's a blessing to you that read it, and there's a blessing to you that hear it. If you can read it, read it. If you can't read it, well, then hear it. So, listen to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. So if you're reading it, you're blessed. And they that hear. So, some of you will read, some of you will hear. And if you can both read and hear, then you get double blessing. So, now I'm going to read Zephaniah chapter 3 from verse 14 to the end. This is what the Lord commanded me to read in this consecration time. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Well, I love to personalize some things when I read them in the scriptures. I mean, Israel and Zion and so forth. They don't have an exclusive on God. As a matter of fact, we are now part of the Commonwealth of Israel. You know, Hebrews 12:22 also tells us that we are now the spiritual Zion. So, you know, sometimes when I see all these things about Zion and Israel, well, I have to put myself in the mix. So put yourself in the mix. Put your name there. This is for you. This is for walking with God. You know, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. Cast out thy enemy. Well, the people of God have many enemies. Our greatest enemy, the flesh, the devil, the Assyrian, the oppressor, the Pharaohs, all these things that come up against us. Our enemies. You know, and the Lord said, the King of Israel, even the Lord, who is in the midst of thee, he says to you, thou shalt not see evil anymore. So as I'm reading this, if you're believing it for yourself, I want your amen reaction in the chat room. These are the things that we are expecting to receive during the September to Remember prayer, fire, and teaching conference. The Lord will say to us, and he having me say to you now, that you shall not see evil anymore. Is that actually possible? Well, if it was not possible, the Lord wouldn't say it. That's right. He said it. He said, in that day. What day? You know, well, it's 11 days away now. In that day, the counting down. We got that countdown clock on our website. We're counting down now. We are 11 days away. 11 days. Can you believe it? We've been talking about it since the beginning of this year. Now, according to my countdown clock, it says 11 days, 2 hours, 56 minutes, and 46 seconds. And it keeps counting down. Wow. By tomorrow, it'll be just 10 days away. You know, so in that day, what day? Well, when we get together for that September to remember. In that day shall be said to walking with God. Fear thou not unto all the children of God. That's right. You know, there's a difference between Jerusalem and Zion. We know they're really the same thing. The city of David is called Zion, Jerusalem, and all of that. But why do you put it this way? Well, Jerusalem, walking with God. Zion, all the people of God. You know, let not your hands be slack. Do you know that people are still registering for this event? People that have thought, I can't make it. I can't get time off of work. I mean, trying. It's just, I can't do it. Well, we're getting testimonies even as recently as yesterday. You know, there is a reason why. It's the Lord. It's not a gathering unto any man. You know, gathering is unto the Lord. So let not your hands be slack. Don't be discouraged. That's what hands being slack means. Don't be discouraged. The Lord said, look, go up to the mountain. Get wood. That was the other thing we read, you know, in the reading of the book on the fasting day. We read something out of the book of Haggai, the prophet. He said, go up to the mountain. Get wood. And build. And the Lord said, well, go up to the mountain is not an easy task. The Lord didn't say go and get wood. Why? Why did he say go and get wood? I mean, you can go be going on the street and pick up some wood. No. He said go up to the mountain. That was a kind of wood that he was looking for. And there is an effort that you have to do to go and get that wood. And I guarantee you, Climbing that mountain is hard enough. When you get the wood, coming down, carrying the wood down the mountain, that's dangerous. You know, but you got to be ready to put your body on the line. That's what we do when we do consecration fasting. You know, and you do these things. The Lord said, look, go get this thing, do it, and build with me. And I will take pleasure in it, said the Lord. Powerful. I'm staking my life on that promise. You know. And more so, here are the things that he would do for us. Say, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. We're going to see salvation full and free. When we call Jesus Savior, that's a song we sing like that. We call him by his name. Tell our God will come and save us. He will save us from all our afflictions. Salvation doesn't mean only when we say we give our life to Christ. Then we say, oh, we are saved. You know, he that believes in his heart and confesses shall be saved. We're thinking of that as salvation. Well, that is salvation. But that's not the only salvation. Any time that you receive and experience deliverance from oppression, from heavy burdens, from sicknesses and diseases, from terror, from fear, you know, from even, sometimes people are even jammed and hemmed in, you know, they cannot make progress. There's no progress. Even in this consecration time, we spoke about go forward, emerge. Yesterday, I was speaking about that. All those things, when the Lord gives you deliverance out of those things, that's salvation. The Lord will come and save us. Glory to God. And he will rejoice over thee with joy. When the Lord does it, he's happy to do it. He's not doing it just, you know, I mean, out of, you know, well, you know, or reluctantly. No. Happy to do it. Praise the Lord. And he will rest in his love. The Lord himself loves, you know, he wants the people to get a break, if you want to use it that way. Some people say, I can't catch a break. Well, you will catch more than a break at September to remember. Praise God. The Lord will joy over you with singing. And here is the promise of the gathering. He said, I will gather them. The Lord is the one that's doing the gathering. And we are just the trumpeters. We got to blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion and so forth. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Sanctify fast. Gather the people. That's all we're doing. But the Lord is the one that's doing the gathering. I will gather them that are sorrowful. For September to remember. Gather them there. And if you're sorrowful, come. Praise God. You will never live without sorrow. In the name of Jesus. Have a burden. Come. He said, look, those to whom the reproach of your sorrow has been a burden, there is something that has lingered in your life. Maybe a physical impairment. It might be something that you've been believing God for. It might, whatever it is, the thing has been a burden. Wow. He said, come. Come. You know, one time Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened. Matthew 11 and 28. Come, come, come. Well, come to September to remember. But come with expectation. Don't come with doubtful disposition. Don't come with two minds. How long halt ye between two opinions? Whether the Lord will do it or the Lord will do it. No. Come like the woman that said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. And she's going to do everything to fight her way through the crowd. And heaven is seeing and heaven is looking. And the moment she managed to touch the hem, heaven releases virtue from the body of Christ. Glory to God. So if you come like that, you come with that determination in your heart. Well, guess what he says? At that time, I will undo all that afflict you. And listen, I'm reading it straight out of the scriptures. Behold, at that time. What time? Well, at the time of that gathering. What gathering? September to 11th, remember. At that time, will I undo all that afflict thee. All that afflict you. And I will save her that halteth. The maimed, the lame, and the halt. You know, that's, you know, there's a problem with your limbs and so forth. Lord said, well, I'm going to do it. Glory to God. I will gather them that were dreaming out. The people that talk, well, I'm in Lodabar. I'm going to bring you out of there. I will get them praise. Now, we're not looking for praise of men. You know, Jesus never wanted the praise of men because he knew what was in man. He didn't want their praise. He didn't even care for it. He knew where his praise was coming from. All that Jesus wanted to hear was, well done, you know. And he wanted to hear, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Wow. And he heard it too. You know, so we're not looking for the praise of men. But Lord said, I'll give it to you anyway. Just like he told Joshua, I said, today I will begin to magnify you in the presence of these people. Just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. God is the one that said it. Joshua wasn't trying to be that. He was just trying to fight. That's all. Joshua was ready to fight. You hold a sword in your hand, Joshua is ready to engage. You know. So, but the Lord said, I will glorify you. I will magnify you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Lord said, I will get them praise and fame. The thing that God is going to do for you, ears will tingle. That's what fame means. People will hear and say, wow. See what the Lord has done. Glory to God. See what the Lord has done. What we've been waiting for. That's going to be our song at September to remember. What we've waited for. The glory and the virtue of God released upon us. We will experience it. The miracles. You know. And all the things that have held you back. And the things that have been a reproach in your life. God said, I will do them at that time. Glory to God. And in the places where you have been put to shame, the things that, you know, have been like a ridicule, like a reproach to you in your life and so on. The Lord said, I'm going at that time, undo it, saith the Lord. And who is strong enough to call the Lord Jesus a liar? You know, will he speak and not do? Is there any hand strong enough to hold him back so that he's not able to perform what he said? Well, the answer is yours. Shall the Lord speak and not be able to do? Listen to this. At that time, all the places where you have been put to shame, I will reverse the shame to fame. Glory to God. I will reverse the reproach to praise. Glory to God. That's what he said he would do. And if you believe it, you can say amen in the chat room. At that time, I will bring you again. And when I gather you together, I will make you a name and a praise among the people of the earth. Well, maybe the Lord will do something with this walking with God. Who knows? You know, we started walking with God without really thinking of anything too much. Or just obedience. Lord said, do it. So we'll do it. I said, do it daily. I said, well, we'll do it daily. And then we just follow, you know, one thing after the other. Just follow. And the Lord gives you instruction. You must do what he says in order for him to say something else. That's the way it works. It's not going to give you 10 instructions. It's going to give you one instruction. If you do number one, you carry it out as he said, then you get number two. And that's how it works. You know, it's not going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things to do, you know, in sequence. No. You do the first one. Yeah. then you do this next one. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17. He said, how many of you that have a servant that sent him to work in his field, you know, when the servant comes back, do you tell him to go and eat? He said, no, you tell him something else. You know, he has done the one thing. Now you tell him something else. And then he will do that other thing. And then you tell him another something. You know, so likewise, you say, when you have done everything that the Lord told you to do, just say you're unprofitable servants. That's the context in which you are saying that. But you can see a revelation behind it. God tells you something, you do it. Then he tells you another thing. Praise the Lord. And we keep doing it. And that's the story of walking with God. It was just one thing after another. One thing after another. But Jesus said, look, despise not the day of small things. He said, because small things, small beginnings, right, can have great endings. In the book of Job, we read that. He said, look, though thy beginnings were small, you know, just small. Job chapter 8, verse 7. Small beginnings, greater endings. Well, the Lord is the one that knows the end from the beginning. So whatever he wants to do, it's up to him. But I will get him praise. I will get them praise. I will make them a name. Who knows? But what the Lord might visit and leave us a blessing. To God be the glory. And everything will return back to him. See, that's it. That's the secret of real greatness. You know, you return it back to him. The Lord said, give it back to me. Give it all back to me. What I've done for you, give it all back to me. Your life, I own it. Your future, I own it. Your past, I own it. Everything, I own it. Give it all back to me anyway. And so, the Lord wants the glory back. He gives it to us, and we give it all back to him. Jesus said, glory I have with you from the beginning, I've given unto them. Ah, I pray that prayer for us. And so, we are going to inherit this glory. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. Jesus prayed it. The Father cannot refuse Jesus' prayer because he was a perfect servant. He did it all just like the Father wanted. You know, John chapter 17, verse 22, that glory which thou gavest me, that's right, I have given it to them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to experience that glory. There are many things that God has given us that we have not experienced. Scripture says God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, have we gotten everything? No. But, you know, we are coming there and we got to keep believing. This glory, he who has called us unto glory and virtue that he has given us, we must experience. You know, what's the next thing? This is, you'll hear some of these by the grace of God also at September to remember. What's the next thing that God is going to do in the church? Is it the rapture? Maybe. But something's got to happen. The next most significant thing that God's going to do in the church, not exactly the rapture. It's something that's going to get them ready for the rapture. To get us ready. Because this is how the scripture puts it. You know, in the book of Romans chapter 8, it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now, start out by saying, for whom he did foreknow, those who are called according to his purpose. He foreknew them. For those whom he did foreknow, Romans 8 and 28, 29, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Already determined that at the end we will be just like the Christ. That's determined, that's settled. That Christ will be the blueprint. Firstborn among many brethren, but not the only one. It will be the first, but not the only. Jesus himself never wanted to be the only. He said, well, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, John 12:24. He abides alone. So Jesus knew that it cannot be alone. I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. Can't be alone. Now, firstborn though, but not the only one. You know, so now, whom he did predestinate though. Now, let's look at this sequence. He foreknew, he predestinated them, right? Now, those he predestinated, then he called. Those he called, and he also justified. How did he justify them? Romans 4 and 25. He said, Christ was delivered up for our offenses, and through his resurrection, through his death, that was for our offenses, resurrection was our justification. Well, what's next after that then? Well, whom he justified, them he also glorified. The glorification of the church is next. That's it. And why? Well, because according to, you know, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, God is going to present the church to himself as a glorious church. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word, verse 26 of Ephesians 5, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. So before the presentation, they must become glorious. You know, so that's the argument that I put forward. And the presentation of the church to himself, it will not be a church that is beaten and battered and bruised. Now, it will be a glorious church. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. holy and without blemish. A glorious church. So, we are poised. Right now, we are on the verge. We are poised on the verge of something tremendous, something momentous, something remarkable that's about to begin. And may it begin for us at September to remember. So, that's the word of the Lord for us. Let me conclude the reading of this scripture on the fasting day. I'll finish out the Zephaniah chapter 3 and say, I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I shall have turned back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. And I love it when he puts, saith the Lord, as a signature stamp on what he says. Praise the Lord. And here I will read also unto you another few verses, a couple of other few verses to close out this exhortation. Remember, we have lift off. Praise God. And in lifting off, we must soar to heights beyond where we've ever been. Glory to God. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 12, let me read this also to us. I'll close out this consecration. Ezekiel chapter 12 from verse 25 to verse 28, or to the end, you might say. Here is the word of the Lord that the Lord said unto them in those days. He said, I am the Lord. And what was the context in which he was speaking to these people? Well, because the people were saying, well, the Lord has promised all these great things, but we never see them anyway. The days are prolonged and every vision faileth. You know, and all these things, you know, God had told us the prophetic emerge, prophetic release, prophetic repairs, quantum leap, all these things. And then it seemed like we are not experiencing them anyway. And experiencing it. This is what the people are saying. The days are prolonged. Oh, yeah, we have not seen any of these things. The Lord said, thus saith the Lord. This saying that you are saying that the days are prolonged and that, you know, we are not seeing, you know, what God has promised. Well, Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 23. Say, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this saying and this proverb to cease. Glory to God. And you will no more use it. You're not going to use it anymore. You know, because so you should say to them that their days are at hand. We're just 11 days away. The days are at hand. The effect of every vision, all these things that the Lord has spoken, we're about to enter into them. Praise God. For they are just, you know, said, for I am the Lord and I will speak. Glory to God. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, he called them rebellious because they were always not sanctifying the word of God in their hearts. We shall not be called the rebellious people. You know, in your days, O walking with God, will I say the word, and in your days will I perform it, saith the Lord. That's right. And then people say, well, the vision is still for many days to come. He said, no. He's still prophesying of things afar. I said, no. Not many days hence. You know, at one time, when Jesus told them to tarry, not many days hence, of 10 days later. Well, just within 10 days now. Just 11 days, 2 hours. In a couple of hours, we'll be at the 10-day mark. You know, not many days hence. And here's how he says it. Finally, he leaps forward. The vision. So this man was a visionary. He saw wheels within wheels. Fire enfolding itself. He saw cherubims. He saw all these things. And he would prophesy one thing in one dimension. He would leap forward into another dimension and bring it all different ways. You know, a wheel within a wheel as different things. And now he says to them, thus saith the Lord, even the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But look at the way he now says it. He's leaping forward. Now, at first he said, you know, in your days will I speak the word, and in your days will I perform it. That seems like he's prophesying something. Well, prophecy can be in many dimensions. That's one way. Prophesy something that's about to pass. Prophecy can also be in a dimension where you're already seeing it come to pass. And then you're declaring it. So he leaps forward. He now sees that he has actually come to pass. He said, there shall none of my words be prolonged, but the word which I have spoken, not the word which I shall speak, shall come to pass. That's the first time declaration. At the end now, he's saying, well, I've already spoken it. The word that I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And what are those words? Everything I just read to you out of Zephaniah chapter 3 shall be done, saith the Lord. So men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have lift off. We have lift off. We're going to higher heights. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the revelation of the word of God. The revelation of the glory of God, revelation of the mysteries of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the deep things of God that are held by the Spirit of God. Who knoweth the things of the Spirit? But the Spirit. Who knows the mind of the Spirit? But the Spirit. But he pleased him to reveal these things unto us. Thank you for the hunger. Thank you for the thirst. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that has joined us looking forward to something. And we have tasted a little bit of it yesterday. And now, Lord, yeah, say mercy drops have been falling, but now we're expecting a deluge. Glory to God. And the prophet said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. What rain? The Lord will make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass, everybody, no one left behind. In the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Now, We seal the word of God with the blood of Jesus. The devil will not steal his words from you. All these things that the Lord has spoken, the devil will come up against him. Has God really said? Well, yeah. Your answer will be yes. He has not only said, you know, he is able to also bring it to pass. And in fact, I've seen it. You can see these things. And to God be the glory, we will see some things. You will see, if God opens your eyes, an innumerable company of angels. You even see the spirits of just men made perfect. He can do it too, if he chooses to. But above all, we want to see the glory of God. The glory of the resurrected Christ. The eyes of fire. We want to hear the thundering voice. We want to see the pillars of fire around his feet and so forth. To God be the glory. We want to see the glory, experience the glory of God. The cloudy pillar by day. The shining of the flaming fire by night. Let all the glory be around us for a defense. A defense. Munitions, not just of rocks, but of the rock of ages, be around us in the name of Jesus. We pray for all our travelers who are coming in. We have people coming in. You won't believe it. I have someone coming in from Zambia. We have people coming from Canada. We have people coming from the East Coast. We have people coming from Nevada. We have people coming from different places. But where is the carcass? Well, it's happening in Arizona. Eagles of God are gathering there. That's right. And that was a prophecy a long time ago for this Arizona. Well, maybe, just maybe, perhaps it will please the Lord to be use this as a trigger. God be the glory. Be the glory. Now, Lord, sanctify. We have sanctified the fast. We're also sanctifying the days of the conference. Thursday, September 3rd. Friday, September 4th. Saturday, September 5th. And Sunday morning, September 6th. God be the glory. All activities that have been lined up, cover them with the blood of Jesus. We cover the days leading up to that, even from now to then, the weather and so forth. It'll be brutal, brutal weather here in Arizona, but the sting is coming out of it. That's it. You know, we prayed and said, Lord, well, let the weather do whatever it wants to do right now. Because a few days, it can be hot, it can be this, it can be that. But, you know, you can only go so far and you're not going to trouble us. During those days, to God be the glory. We will not have any monsoon during those days. But a couple of days leading before and even after, you see how that the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Concerning the works of my hands, the sun and the moon, the weather and these things, command ye me. And so, telling the weather, behave yourself now. Don't mess with those days. There will be no trouble in the land either. There shall be peace in the valley. This place is called Valley of the Sun. There shall be peace in the valley. God be the glory. And I pray, Lord, that heads will be lifted up. Any heads bowing down right now, they say, there's a burden, it's too heavy for me. Come, saith the Lord. And I will lift those burdens up. I will undo all that afflict you in the name of Jesus. And everyone that said, well, I don't know, you know, it seems like my lot is falling away. So, the Lord said, think again, for the lot is falling unto you. Pleasant lines falling unto you. You know, I have caused your captivity to return, said the Lord. And that's it. And when the Lord turned our captivity, we'll be like those that dreamt. Woo-hoo. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. God be good. Thank you, Father. I pray, Lord, a renewing of strength for everyone that has, fasted and prayed with us and waited upon the Lord. You said that we shall renew our strength. You said the Lord said that even your health will spring forth speedily. And I claim all these promises for the Lord that are written in the book of Isaiah 58. I claim it for us. You know, we have fasted these many days, Lord. And now let there be a loosening of the bands. Let there be an undoing of the heavy burdens. Let there be a releasing of all the oppression and the oppressing spirits. And let every yoke, every evil yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. And let our life begin to break forth in obscurity. Let our health begin to spring forth speedily. God be the glory. And let the glory of the Lord be seen upon us. Say, arise and shine. The glory of God. Righteousness will go before you. And the glory of God will cover your behind. You will call and I will answer, said the Lord. You will cry and you will say, the Lord said, I will say, here I am. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. The Lord will also guide you continually. Your light will rise in obscurity. The Lord will satisfy thy soul. God be the glory. The Lord will make them that are of thee to build the old waste places. Come build with me, said the Lord. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. This thing will raise up many, many things. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Every right that people have lost to the promises of God through breaches, it will be repaired, said the Lord. The restorer of the paths of righteousness to dwell in. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.